See, the XO will say, take it down to 300 meters. If someone says, I don't want to, do exactly that. You understand? Yes, sir. You know why a lot of times we have problems in our life? Because our mind is yet unsubmitted. Okay, excuse me, you guys. The captain said take it down to 300. It's stupid. It's really stupid, but take it down to 300 meters. And we try to carry out the things of God, but we grumble about it every step of the way. And there's mutiny against the Lord.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Life has many distractions, and sometimes you might feel like you're in the middle of a tug of war between good and evil. Who will win in the end? Which way will you go? Well, if you struggle knowing what is right but having a hard time doing it, today's message is for you. Here's Pastor Wayne with part two of a message entitled, The Gods That Allure.
So make a covenant with your eyes that you'll not gaze upon a woman with lust. That's just a covenant you must make. And you catch yourself. Nope, I don't get to do that. Nope. And it'll keep you free from the gods that allure. That's the first covenant. The second is as important. That is, make a covenant with your heart. Make a covenant with your heart. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 57:7. In the King James, it says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises. And let's read it in the New American Standard. Ready? Go. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. See, what God is saying is, be careful. Fix your heart on God. And when you do, you'll be able to sing praises because there's a freedom. Because my heart is fixed. I've already got it fixed. And so this doesn't get to me. This doesn't get to me. My heart is fixed, so I'm free. You shall know the truth, John 8:32 says, and the truth will what? Set you free. When I set my heart on God, because that's the greatest truth and that's most eternal, I begin to see the gods that allure begin to minimize around my life. But they're going to go after your heart, either by that which glitters or the more common lures of depression or anger or discouragement that causes us to bail out. And you're going to have problems. Remember, we're going to be targets. And you're going to have struggles with spouse or a relationship. But please remember this. The Bible says, watch out. Don't let your heart be deceived. Yeah, that's right. Because we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, your enemy is not your spouse or relationship with someone. It's what the devil wants to do against the kingdom by causing us to have infighting. We war not against each other. It's against the powers of darkness that use that for his purposes. Then we get discouraged and we bail out of God's plans for us. Do you see that? So you've got to guard your heart, and that's why Proverbs 4:26 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows all the issues of life. Life will be flowing out of the way that we care for and maintain our hearts. Guard your heart. Otherwise, you'll have a broken heart. You'll get a worldly heart. You'll get a hardened heart. You get a bitter heart, you get a lusty heart. All of these things our hearts are susceptible to. Therefore, we must make a covenant with our hearts that says, I'm going to fix it on God's purposes. And anything that happens, I'm going to diminish that and I'm going to keep my heart fixed. Because you're going to get into some problems and you're going to say, that's it. I got to bail out. That's it. I'm finished. Be careful. Guard your heart. Keep it on the most core competencies that God has you to focus on. For example, in college, you have, you know, the important core competencies like English and math and those things, history. And then you have these electives like tennis or, you know, shoe polishing, underwater basket weaving, those kinds of things. You can take those, you know. But if you get a D or something in shoe polishing and underwater basket weaving and stuff, it's no big deal. But you better make sure you get A's in math or history or science, English, those things, because those are your core courses. But if you get A's in all of those underwear repair and stuff like that, and then you get D's in these core competencies, big difference. So you got to make sure that, hey, listen, I might lose some money here, I might lose that here, I might not get this position here or get that there, but it's no big deal. You know what's the core competency of my life? Is to make sure that I guard my heart against having broken relationships and tolerating it. diminishing my faith, diluting, compromising my relationship with God for these other things. Boy, make sure you know what the core competencies of life are, because that's what God will hold us accountable for in the end, not the other electives. And so guard your heart. We say, Wayne, sometimes I get so subjective, though. I get really inundated by all these problems. How do I keep free from these problems or the outside storms becoming an inside storm? Because that's the big deal. Remember, you'll always make it through if you make sure that outside storms do not become inside storms. Guard your heart. Well, how do I guard it? Here is something that's helped me over the years. Would you write in your notes? Whenever problems happen, you're inundated with them, make sure you do this. Minimize the enemy and magnify the Lord. If you're not careful to do that, which is minimize the enemy and magnify the Lord, it's going to be the other way around. You're going to magnify the enemy and you're going to minimize the Lord. You know when that happens? When you magnify the problems and you minimize the Lord, you find yourself getting angry, depressed, discouraged, and you know the gods that allure are starting to get their hooks in. You start swearing, cussing, getting mad at, whatever it might be, because what happened? You minimize the Lord and you magnify the problem or the enemy. It needs to be the other way around. You magnify the Lord and minimize the enemy, which means you go from one side, the problem side, to the solution side. Live on the victory side. Does that mean you deny the fact that you have problems? No, you do not have a faith in Christ that is one of denial. You have one where you understand the whole playing field in reality. You have a circumspect view of exactly what's going on, but you're resolving problems from the victory side, not the problem side. Oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh, I don't. No, no, no. I read the last page of the Bible. It says we win. So know that. That's done. That's done. So solve everything from this side. So how do you do that? You magnify the Lord and minimize the enemy. If you don't, you will magnify the enemy and you'll minimize the Lord. Then you are very susceptible to being allured. So make, number one, a covenant with your eyes, and then make a covenant with your heart. And then number three, make a covenant with your mind. Make a covenant with your mind, because your mind is deceivable. Your mind is able to play tricks on you. Your mind will cause you to go the wrong way, because you know, I don't understand why God's saying that. It doesn't matter. God said it. Yeah, but I don't agree. It doesn't matter. You see, before I came to know Christ, my mind called all the shots. Isn't that right? Well, the way I perceive things, the way I think things should be, that's what called the shots. And that's the whole moray of our lifestyle today and our culture. You know, whatever seems good to you, that's what you should do. Just let your mind, your perception be God. It'll exonerate, rationalize, and give credence to whatever you want to do. If that's the way you see it, that's the way you think. But whoa, if you're going to submit to God, you've got to make a covenant with your eyes, a covenant with your heart, and a covenant with your mind. You see, when Christ came into my life, now he's the commander in chief, and my mind has to come under him as a tool for his use. Because my mind then is like what they call on a battleship or submarine, an XO or an executive officer. And the commander is there, and the XO's responsibility is to carry out the full commands of the admiral. The captain of that ship, he carries out. The XO carries out. So if the captain says, take it down to 300 meters, the XO says, take it down to 300 meters. Everybody goes and does exactly that. And your mind is like an XO, but before Christ was in there, it was like commander. So now you got to make a covenant with your mind that says you will become a tool for the Lord. That's exactly what we find in the book of Corinthians. Let's read it. Ready? Go. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So what we're saying is this. When God's command says something, even if I don't quite understand it, make a covenant with your mind that says you're going to do what God says, even though your flesh rebels. See, the XO will say, take it down to 300 meters. If someone says, I don't want to, do exactly that. You understand? Yes, sir. Because that XO or that mind is carrying out the wishes of the commander. It doesn't say, the commander says, take it down to 300 meters. Okay, excuse me, you guys, the captain said, take it down to 300. It's stupid. It's really stupid, but take it down to 300 meters. You know why a lot of times we have problems in our life? Because our mind is yet unsubmitted. And we try to carry out the things of God, but we grumble about it every step of the way. So guess what happens in all the rest of the members of our body? We all just say, why should we do it? And there's mutiny against the Lord. Why? Because we've got a bad, unsubmitted exo. But when your mind is submitted to Christ, and we say, no, the commandments of the Lord says, and I'm going to do that. Even though my flesh wants something else, nope, this is what God's command says. And you pull everything back in and you stay free from the gods that allure because you have a mind that's submitted to Christ. You see that? So you must make a covenant with your mind that says, if God's word says it, I'm going to do it. Even though there's rebellion yet in my ranks, I'm going to say, you do what God's word says. And then my mind becomes a tool in the hands of God. And when you finally start to get that way, you know what? You start to develop, not the mind of the world, but you develop the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Romans 12 says this, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that you will know what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. Then you begin to understand what the mind of Christ is, and everything starts to follow suit. Make a covenant with your mind. Make a covenant with your eyes. Make a covenant with your heart. And when you do that, you'll hear the Lord say to you, blessed are your eyes because they see. And the Lord will say, you have gained the mind of Christ. When you make a covenant with your heart, God will look at people in this place and he'll say, there's a man after my own heart. There's a woman after my own heart. And we want it to start here. And when you say yes to that and you make those covenants, then you'll be a person that won't be like a Menpachi that got snagged in the eye. Amen. Amen.
You've just heard a message entitled The Gods That Allure. In a moment, Pastor Wayne will be back with a closing prayer. But first, here's a testimony from a guy whose every heartbeat is a gift from God. Here is Bill Northern.
I'd been training for the marathon, so I was in real good shape, but I went to do a simple 3-mile run just one weekend and couldn't breathe that well. I stopped during the run probably about 10 times, and which wasn't normal, and ended up having to go to the emergency room, and they determined I had a clot in my lung, and through looking at what other problems potentially I had, they found some problems with the heart. I really went down fast. The heart just was giving way, and I spent the next 3 weeks in intensive care. And wasn't quite aware how bad things were, but I started to get a sense that things weren't good. The other organs were starting to fail, and there was a possibility that I'd need a heart transplant and all of this. But I did, like I said, right towards the end of the 3 weeks, I started to recover enough where they were hopeful. It makes you start to think about, okay, what's my life about? What's truly important? And then you start to realize my wife, my daughter, my son that wasn't born yet, all these things come into your mind that you're not ready to end it. We were starting to lose hope if we were ever going to have a donor. But we were able to make it to about 4 months later, and that was in May when we got the call. I think it was after the transplant when I was able to finally take stock and realize that, you know, even if I wasn't going to make it, because heart transplants are still so relatively new, you don't really know how long you have to survive anyway. And so then I started to feel like, well, even if God was to take me now, he's already blessed me with so much. And the fact that he even gave me a second chance to come back is a tell in itself. Why was I spared? Was I worthy enough to be able to go on living with this one losing his life and providing the ultimate sacrifice? Because I started to feel like with the whining I had been doing in my head and not being appreciative of everything I had, I didn't maybe deserve to have the heart or the second chance. I felt like even though I didn't have any strength, any muscle to do anything, that things were going to be better, that I was going to try and make a difference with the chance I'd been given. I think God chose to put his hand on the doctors, put his hand on my wife, put his hand on my family and friends, and help me to recover so that I can maybe somehow help other people in the future. Before getting sick, my job had become my God, or one of my gods, because of it controlled my emotions, it controlled how I handled things from a day-to-day situation. It kept time away from my wife and time away from my daughter. And it was an important thing to me because I felt like I needed to put all that into my job to be able to provide a good, secure living for my family. What this situation told me was, none of that matters. You don't always have to have money to make things work. If you have God and family, things will work out anyway.
Sometimes God does some physical things to remind us of spiritual gifts and spiritual direction. And God sure did that with Bill. And the lessons that he learned are lessons that'll last a lifetime. I'd like you to meet Bill. Would you welcome with me Bill Northern as he comes?
Thank you, Pastor Wayne. There were times I wanted to give up. I spent week after week lying in the hospital, hooked up to all kinds of machines, not being able to move, feeling that it'd be so much easier just to die. Then I would no longer have to deal with getting poked and prodded with needles and tubes. I would no longer have to endure endless nightmares and hallucinations brought on by heavy doses of medication. If I were dead, I thought to myself, at least my wife and kids would finally be off the hook. I would no longer be such a burden on them. Sure, they would grieve for a while, but then they could start over. It was at those moments of despair that my wife would walk through the door of my hospital room. She never missed a day, and she always greeted me with a smile. I was too weak to feed myself, so Jen would feed me while telling me about friends who had called to pray for us, or had written letters or sent cards. I continued to pray daily for strength. I felt if I gave up now, I'd be letting down everyone who was praying for me, especially my family. Jen had sacrificed so much, and she still had to carry our new baby to full term. I was determined not to let her go through that alone. After that, my liver and kidneys that were failing actually began to get better. And soon the tubes and machines were removed from my body one by one. But it still wasn't an easy journey. I still had a dying heart. I prayed more than ever, but this time I began to question God. I wanted to know just how much more he had in mind for me to go through. And then I read the book of Job and saw how much trust Job had in God, and despite all the despair and disasters in his life. I thought, wow, all the incredible things I've been blessed with in my lifetime. And now when faced with adversity, I start to question God. Then I felt the Lord saying, just keep your head in the game. Looking back, I see how God carried me through each day of this ordeal. He has blessed me with another chance. And because of the unselfishness of a special man, I have a new healthy heart that keeps me alive. This special man's name was Kalaman Obriga, and he was my heart donor. The day Kalama went to be with the Lord, four people in need, just like myself, received organs. You might not know this, but each day in the United States, there are 16 men, women, and children of all races who will die waiting for an organ transplant. Kalama had the foresight to tell his loved ones that if anything should happen to him, his organ should go to saving the lives of others. You and I can be a part of saving someone else's life, just as Kalama has saved mine. When I wake each morning, I remember how blessed I am by all the things God has done and how faithful He continues to be. I'm also so thankful to all my friends and family who supported me and helped me through the tough times. Each time I feel my heart beat, I have a renewed sense of gratitude, and I'm so glad to be alive. God bless.
With your heads bowed, how many of you would be here and you'd say, you know, I need to make those covenants, the covenant with my mind, covenant with my eyes, covenant with my heart. Because I really want to be free so that God will use me in eternal ways and I won't be allurable, susceptible to the pull of the enemy that would love to distract and cause a head-on collision somewhere. I really need to make those decisions. How many of you would say, you know, I'm game for that. I'm going to go for it. Would you raise your hand and say, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll make those covenants. Sure. Yeah, all of us. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. If you're here today and you say, you know, Wayne, I want to make that covenant, but the first covenant I need to make is with Jesus. I've not come to know Him as Lord and Savior, and I just really want to give Him my heart, because you know what, Wayne, I need a heart exchange. My heart's dying. I just need a new heart. And Jesus gave His life willingly so that I would have His heart. I want to do that. I want to give my life. I want to be born again. I need a new beginning, a new start, a new life, so that my heart is His heart. If that's you, and you just say, boy, that's me, I just want to start that relationship with Christ, would you raise a hand in doing so? You're saying yes to His invitation. Yeah, okay. Put our hands down and then reach out and take a hold of the person's hand next to you. And if this is the first time you've received Christ, outside is a yes table. Please stop by and get a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material that will help you in your first few steps with Christ. And they'll invite you to our thing called Growing Deep, Growing Strong, which is designed especially for new believers and starting their walk with Christ. And it'd be a phenomenal day for you. But stop by at the yes table and pick up one of those packets. And some of you might say, you know, I need, that's where I am, Wayne. I've got to learn more about how to stay free and centering in on the Lord. We have instant tapes or CDs or VCDs out back, and pick one of those up, stick it in your car, and listen to it again. That'll help you so much to drive the lessons of truth home to your life. So you developing ears that hear, eyes that see, the mind of Christ, and a person after God's own heart. So make sure that you stop by there, especially if this is the first time you've received Christ. But would you pray this prayer after me as we close? Pray this out loud after me. Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. And I choose to make a covenant with my mind, my eyes, my heart, so that I will be wholly Yours. Give me a new beginning. I open my heart to receive You as Lord and Savior. Bring forgiveness and a new beginning. I give You my heart in exchange for Yours. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so I can hear me, so you can hear me, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him in Jesus' name. And Lord, that's a cry of our hearts. Thank You so much for Your grace on our lives. Lord, take our mind, take our heart, take our lives. Make it Yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Seal what the Lord has said, would you, with a clap offering? Lord, we thank You for what You've done in our hearts.
If you prayed that prayer along with Pastor Wayne, we'd like to send you some information that will help you in your new walk with Jesus Christ. Call us at 808-842-4242 and ask for the Yes Packet. Again, that number, 808-842-4242, and be sure to ask for the Yes Packet. We'll get it out to you right away. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship and heard each day at this time. Please join us again and tell a friend. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.